I guess we all, most of us remember that little theme song from a time when supposedly things were a little more calm, collected. We weren't being screwed with near as much as we are now. You know, it presented the America that we were presented with, you know, to, you know, this is America, you know, it's Leave It to Beaver. Well, unfortunately, folks, I am not Jerry Mathers. This is not, and I'm not playing the Beaver. Steve is not, you know, Tony Dow playing Wally. And I've never met Ken, but I kind of doubt that he's Ward Cleaver. And June ran off with Larry's mom in some kind of weird lesbian tryst, and they're off somewhere, and now Larry's is now called Larry Nell. So the whole world has been twisted, turned upside down, inside out, whichever way you want to call it. You know, since I've been coming on here talking with you, I hear Steve in the background there. Or is that Wally?
No, that's Steve. Go on.
You know, I've been looking at the world, observing things around me, and, you know, since I've come on here, you know, I've come on and I've said, you know, folks, I'm sorry, I can't really give you much of a remedy, or at least one that we can talk about without having the guys with the guns come and pick us up and take us away most peacefully. Things have progressed way, way, way past Leave It to Beaverville.
Yeah.
This world is pretty much, does it make everyone else's head out there hurt? I mean,
it does.
You see something, I mean, you know, it was something I've been wanting to talk about here for a while. You know, I a lot of people, and me included, you know, we look, you know, to Russia Today television. You know, it's still a fairly decent, you learn things about this country at least that you don't hear definitely in our news. But as far as I'm concerned, you have even sources that are giving you the truth, some more of the truth, whatever you want to call it, you've got to be so very, very careful about. I've watched Russia Today evolve from a time when, God, what was it, 10, 12 years ago, Steve? Remember when little Aliona Minkowski was on? She had her show, Aliona. That's what I always called her. Alona is what her name is. And I called her, you know, cute and perky. You know, a little short girl. And she had some fire in her belly. She had some cojones. And, you know, they always say, they don't tell us what we can and can't say, what we can and can't talk about, you know, the host of these various shows. Well, little Alona came on one day on a Friday, and she had her show was Friday afternoon, and she came in on, and boy, she just started railing on Vladimir Putin. I mean, tearing him up one side and down the other. I can't remember exactly what it was that she was upset about, but man, she went on and on and on. You know, her show's 30 minutes long, it's an hour show. And she just went up and ran up one side, down the other, and you know, stripped all the hair off his body and just left him naked. And I was sitting there going, wow. In fact, I even called Steve, I think, Saturday, and I said, man, you should have heard Alona's show, you know, Friday. I said, man, I can't believe she said that. You know, I said, she was just saying this and that, and, you know, by God, you know, her show came on Monday again, and she did her show, and then at the end of her show, she said, well, thanks for watching, folks. I'm gone. Bye. You know, so they do tell them pretty kind of what they can and can't say. She couldn't rail on Vladimir Putin and get away with it. So there is control everywhere in everything, basically, that we're hearing anymore. The internet, definitely controlled. You know, is there anything
media
called free
controlled
airwaves anymore?
You know, media is
free airwaves.
Everything's controlled. Yeah,
everything is controlled.
Radio's controlled. You know, you listen to the radio, and they're strangled by their sponsors and their sponsors' beliefs.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And what are you going to do? They can't tell you the truth because their sponsors can't handle the truth, even if they knew the truth. You know, Alan, your point is well taken for the news.
and all these sources like Question Today. Let me talk to you a little bit, or share this with you, actually, and I'll be brief. Here's one. This is from yesterday, Alan. In Kalamazoo, Michigan, there was a little bit of a fight, right? And here, let's see. Let's let them tell the story real quick. The First Congressional Church hosted a gathering of anti-racism counter-protesters who formed a perimeter around the area in, Kalamazoo. The Proud Boys, they have a hatred of the Jewish people and Muslim people, and they're very hateful. Who doesn't look like them and act like them? Reverend Nathan Danielson, the church pastor, told these guys. Danielson urged the crowd not to commit themselves to nonviolence and non-aggression. What? He said, go kill them? You know, and this thing, Alan, right? And, of course, it's coming from a news source called The Sun in the U.S., and it's a race baiter. But they write up this thing that happened yesterday. Do you remember the Proud Boys, Alan? They're kind of like, they're pretty old. So the Proud Boys go to Kalamazoo, and they watch her march around just like they always do. They're dressed in their, you know, what are they dressed in? They got their little uniforms so you can tell them apart, kind of, you know, and they're not what the media makes them out to be. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but they want to support America and this and that. And then Antifa shows up, and this newspaper article makes them out to be a bunch of a church congregation is meeting them. A church congregation that the guy is wearing a yellow fuzzy bear hat and a big fat belly, you know, he's like, I'm going to kick you, Proud Boys. Well, what are you, LGBTQRXOP? But he's a church congregation. But that whole thing, it was a big fight, I guess, Alan. I didn't really hear about it. And the first article that I saw was that one. And I'm going, well, what happened? Church congregation? No, that ain't no church congregation. You know, and they don't just commit yourself to nonviolence. Like, huh, we're getting more violent, Alan. And the newspapers and the media sources, like what you were talking about, Russia Today, you know, are they responsible for it? Well, no, they're responsible for different things, but they're definitely, they tell the outside view of things from what I see, because they're allegedly trying to, they have another side, right, another angle. Do we talk more seriously about anybody but the United States and the U.S. media? But the U.S. media is gone, right? Why don't we just get rid of the media? We got to shut them all down. What do you think, Alan? Like, there's nothing left to do. You can't fix it, can you?
Well, that would be good, Steve, if we could shut it down and just stay in our own little enclave and be able to live our peaceful life, you know. But there are those out there who just don't want to leave us alone, as Ernie Hancock would say. You know, Russia Today, another thing. I guess they're being subtle. But, you know, I don't know if y'all out there who watch Russia Today, have you seen this Scotty Nell Hughes thing? You know, they brought on, you know, this big, tall, you know, 6 foot something blonde bombshell, you know. And when you first look at it, it's kind of like, wow, she's, you know, she's pretty hot, you know, big, tall, blonde. But then you see a picture of, like, with her forearm and her legs and her hands. And then then you hear a little panel of some of the hosts, you know, together on a panel, and they're joking about this and joking about that, and they're talking about transgenderism. And one of the guys says, well, there's someone who's very close to me right now that I care about that's transgender. And they're all kind of snickering, and it's Scotty Nell Hughes, folks. I'm sorry. The chick is a dude.
I don't even know what you're talking about. I really don't have that kind of a relationship with Russia Today. I see it infrequently nowadays, but so they hired a guy girl, a transsexual?
Yeah, I believe this wow. Scotty Hughes used to be like a sports, in newscaster or something, and now it's Scotty Nell Hughes. And folks, I guarantee you, body structure doesn't lie. You look at the forearms and the legs, and now they try to keep it covered up. You know, it'll be wearing like long sleeve dresses and things like this, so you really can't see the muscular structure. And they try to hide the hands because the hands are, they're man hands. You know, there's certain things that just don't lie. You've got Tyrell Ventura on there, I guess using his daddy's name to give him legitimacy. And when their show first came on, he had Sean. His father's a famous producer. It was a fairly decent show, and now he's got a black female co-host. Got rid of Tabitha Wallace, who I guess wasn't leftist enough with her, Chris Wallace and Mike Wallace as her father and grandfather. You know, I guess that wasn't enough, and so she's not on there. And now everything they do is social justice warrior. Everything that they talk about, it's all, how the blacks have been depressed, how the women are better, and how this and that, and it's everything is social justice warrior. Jesse Ventura himself, you listen to his interviews, he's a freaking socialist. You know, you think of this great guy, he was a Navy SEAL and governor of Minnesota and everything. Listen to what he says. He's a freaking socialist. I mean, it makes sense being on Russia Today when you actually think about it. But, you know, they when they first started out, they really were. They gave a whole lot more news, and you didn't see that bias. You know, they were actually, I know it was all part of the plan, but there was a lot more reporting of things that were important to most of us out there who are trying to stop what's going on, who don't like what's going on, trying to stop it. Yeah, that's... I'm sorry, you know, it's like a locomotive and you standing out there, you know, putting your finger out and expecting to stop it coming at you.
Millie Weaver got thrown in jail on Friday, right?
What's that?
Millie Weaver, remember Alex Stone's crew? She was arrested on Friday.
Yeah, I heard something about that.
Grand jury accounts of assault and battery and blah, blah, blah. Abducted her and her husband, or no, her boyfriend or husband or something else like that. Damn,
her
interesting.
Significant other.
Husband. Okay, I've seen it written up different ways, and of course I see it written up different ways because they're lying to you. They're lying to us all, and I'm not talking. Millie is lying to us. You know, she's of the Alex Jones camp, and I guess. And I hate to say camp, but it definitely, I don't think she was working with Alex any or much, and she's probably doing more contract work from what I kind of perceived from the whole thing. But she was just getting ready to release, a movie, and it was called Shadowgate, right? And I've watched part of the movie so far. And the reason I bring that up, Alan, is because... well, damn, she's one of us, and she was arrested, right? And she was trying to get the word out. And they picked her up on Friday, and now they won't even, she just sits in jail. She's going to sit in jail all weekend. We can't do anything about, we don't have a bunch of Antifa guys to go over there and protest. Tear down the streets, let Millie, the millennial or whatever, let her out, right? You know, what did she do? What are the charges? Right? Oh, knew that. Oh, go away, folks. And we're sitting back at home just going, okay, well, they've got her. CFR just brought it up, right? And he's like, everybody's told me that Millie's in jail. Millie's in jail, okay. And I don't watch Alex Jones an awful lot or see or listen to him since he abandoned Galaxy 19. He doesn't even come across that much anymore, right? He's relegated in my world to, I see him in passing. You know, I have to look it up. His website sucks. And so I've stopped using it, right? You know, and everything is lock-in with him. So my relationship with the Alex Jones camp, if I were to say it, is kind of like that. But this isn't Alex Jones getting arrested. This is Millie Weaver. She was that cute girl that just popped into the Alex Jones show sometime in 2012. And she did a bunch of fun stuff and then parted ways. I don't know. What do you think about that, Alan? How many of us need to be picked up and thrown in jail for what seemed to be maybe or trumped up charges? Because is it a trumped up charge? I don't know. You know.
Now you're saying bad things about the orange man, Steve. Where do you call them trumped up charges? Huh?
Trumped up charges. Oh my God.
You hate the orange man, don't you? He's a good man. He's there. He's going to help us. He's going to save the world. No, folks.
Yeah.
Look at his whole background, not just what they present to you. His whole life has been nothing but part of this whole system.
I'm not talking about Trump right now, Alan. I was talking about Millie, kind of, and talking about you.
I know,
and I'm talking about me. I'm talking about Ken. And I'm talking about the people that are listening at home, right? Because when they come for you, right now they're coming for everybody. Man, have you noticed that? And it's hard to see if you have no view of the world. Damn it, New York is boarded up right now. They have boards on windows for these protests. Chicago's going crazy. Everybody's crazy, right? And it's a bunch of weirdos that are getting together in their loafer shoes or whatever the hell kind of shoes that they've got right now, with little bottles and little cute little masks going, I'm going to go over there because I think some lives matter, and let's go over here, and this and this, and then they're just little stupid rats, you know, and I guess I'm really pissed off, and it doesn't matter because Millie Weaver's in jail, and we won't hear anything about it till Monday when she'll either be released on the, you know, or they'll decide to keep her in. Right, what's the movie about? That's a good question. Well, it's about, Trump, there you go. Orange Lives Matter, Alan. It is about Trump. I don't know.
They have destroyed masculinity across this whole planet, basically, or it's getting that way. Definitely in this country. I don't know about, you know, some of the deepest, darkest Africa and some of those places yet. But it's encroaching there, too.
Yeah.
It's getting everywhere, like I said. This, what they're doing right now, folks, what they're doing now, this is worldwide. This is not just the COVID thing, but the Black Lives Matter thing. All this is being coordinated worldwide. What they're doing right now is they're testing how well their coordination is, how well their control is, how if they can, you know, achieve the lockdowns and the transformations that they want on a global scale at this point, because They can't leave little pockets here and there of if you want to call it masculinity, of opposition that's, you know, might actually at some point turn hot. They're testing and they're adjusting and they're maneuvering to where, you know, the one remedy that is still available, maybe, unless you look at the space weapons and what Alana Freeland talks about and things like that, it's we're way past Leave It to Beaverville, folks. I used to talk about it's not so much the folks out here, you know, the good people out here that I'm trying to talk to. You know, I've said before, I'm trying to talk to the guys that might be listening that might have have a chance to have their fingers on some of these buttons of the new toys. You know, the platforms, the balloon platforms, the space platforms. The drone platforms, everything else, every way that they can watch and check and keep track of everything we do. And if they don't like it, they hit a button and a hellfire drops on you, or a rod from God, you know, comes out of the sky. That's even getting past. You know, you can't really even talk to those guys anymore, because I'm sure that the AI has taken over more and more of all these systems, and it's going to be a machine doing autonomous.
Big Brother state, yeah. That was actually covered in Millie's movie. You'd probably like it, Alan. You know, it seems to be really good. Hey, we'll throw the link to Millie's her new movie that was released last week, right on the heels of her arrest. into the chat room. But it did talk about the weapons that are being used to attack the, well, the world, it really is, you know, and how it was all funded by U.S. taxpayers and privatized. It's like, oh, my God. I know she does cover some content that exceeds Snowden, right, or brings that all together and how they use their AI algorithms to create artificial personalities for, let's say, for the Internet, you know, because these artificial personalities, they could be a, it looks like a person on Facebook, acts like a person on Facebook. They could even have an actor call and do all that, you know, they're LARPing. It's just LARPing. LARPing is live action role playing. Yeah, the chat room is over at republicoftexas.chattango.com. And Alan, you want to get really a little bit, well, this is on subject and it's annoying as hell. And I wish I didn't never saw it. I wish it never happened. But Merv Bailey put this article into our chat room before the show, and she was very animated when she did it, and I understand why, because it's annoying. It's more than annoying. This Tennessee Department of Education announces COVID-19 Child Well-Being Task Force.
Oh, God. Right?
So they created this thing. It's called the Child Well-Being Task Force, where they're going to randomly check up on any kids that aren't in school or that were put out of school or whatever they call it, right? They shut the damn schools down, right? That's the thing. They shut the schools down, and then they say, well, we can go over to your house anytime you want. Right? And you go, wow, you can? No, you can't. Well, we're going to do a wellness check on your child because he hasn't been seen. Oh, no, I saw him 10 minutes ago. Oh, but we need to see him because we haven't seen him. Well, you don't have anything to do with it except for you signed your kid away from when you register him in school, technically, right, if we're really trying to be honest with anything. Anyway, so that's wonderful. Listen to this, and then I'll knock it off on this subject, Alan. The members of the task force, right, you just sit there and you read through, right, and you go, well, who the heck are you going to come knocking on your door, right? Well, they're not necessarily the door knockers, right? These are just the people that are going to help, fantasize on how we're going to knock on doors. So those are the mission objective members, or the team members, or the work group members. Senator Ramesh Akbari, Tennessee General Assembly. Janet Ayers, huh, I wonder what that name is, from the Ayers Foundation, right? You're like, oh, okay. And, you know, you can go through and you just go, wow, this is kind of interesting. Let's see. And you go, well, what do you have to do with anything in this? Where are some of the fun ones? Oh, there was Brian McLaughlin, Tennessee Teacher of the Year. He's going to knock on your door. Wow. No, wonderful. And there's Dr. Floyd Tyler, President of the Board of Regents. The Principal of the Year is going to do it. The Association of Infant Mental Health in Tennessee. And, you know, this is a good one. There's Amy Martin, President of Tennessee Cable and Broadband Association. Huh. Oh, God. You got to bring the internet people in, right? Because maybe they know how to do some of this internet stuff. All right, so let's get the president to the... I don't know what to say when we're being attacked, lately, and all these vectors are like, okay, essential businesses only can open during the time of COVID. And schools are not essential. Okay, what do you mean? Schools are not essential. What do you mean? You're like, oh, my God. I don't know. We're in la-la land. They're attacking us every front. They hauled off Millie Weaver, right? Now they're going to be coming to your door and saying, I want to check on your kid.
I've got this guy. He's with the Cable Association. He does fiber optic and all that other stuff. And this one is from Social Services, and she wants your kid, right? So we got these two guys. They're cops, and they're going to search your entire house, and they got their dogs with them, right? And they're going to look for everything, and they'll go after people one by one. Huh, is that a good day? And so what are you doing in Texas? I don't know. We've got the governor of Texas. Oh, yeah, he takes this all really seriously. You know, no, he doesn't. He loves this. He's a blue coat, right? If we're talking this red and blue thing, the lockdown, he'd lock the whole damn thing down and then just roll his ass on home. Can I say ass on there? Probably. But he would. He'd roll away and say, well, I'm going to shut it off because I have a legacy. He doesn't care about Texas. They don't care about the Alamo. They don't care about you. They don't care about me. But we do, right? I care about the Proud Boys.
Even if they cared anything about the Alamo, they gave it away as a United Nations National Heritage Site. So there is no control over it anymore. I don't care how much you want to fight against it. They're going to do what they want to do. It's out of that's beyond any question anymore. I mean, even the illusion, should be slipping from everyone's eyes. And it's getting that way more and more, but still a lot of people, Steve, unfortunately, I have some interactions with some folks who are still rather real comfortable in this whole situation, mm-hmm. They've been traveling around to this friend's ranch and that friend's ranch and going here and going there. And I'm like, well, don't you know that there's a COVID out there? You're not supposed to be doing that stuff. That's spreading death and destruction everywhere. And, well, no, they don't spread death and destruction because, they're a part of the crowd, there's some secret societies, clubs, whatever you have, they call them clubs, but, it's secret societies of very powerful, influential people in the Austin area and things like this, and I've heard little hints of this and that, and haven't really delved too deep into it with my people I'm close with around here, but I did lean over and ask one of my cousins. I said, "What does it take to be Grand Poobah of this thing?" And he just kind of pulls his fingers up and rubs them together, and he goes, "Lots of that." And folks, I mean, your lives are being controlled. Whether you think you might know some people that are in government, some people that are in high positions, some people that are fairly well off. If they're really well off, they're part of these groups, and it's like the Masons. They don't talk about it. They get together, and they do things, and they discuss things on the golf course, at a dinner party, at the country club, wherever they might be, at someone's, estate mansion in the mountains somewhere. And that's where real decisions are made. They own it all, including you. Not just by means of toxic currency anymore. Every avenue that you can think of is controlled at this point. I guess I'm probably controlled to a point too, but I'm more on the pissed off side of the control factor. I'm not going along peaceably with it. So are they controlling what I'm saying to a point? Yeah, because I sure as hell don't like what's going on. And I'm sorry, folks. I can't come up here and tell you it's like, we got remedy. All we got to do is do the 14th Amendment and this and that, and that's everything will be good. All your prayers will be answered. It's way past Leave It to Beaverville, folks. Whatever happens is not going to be Purdy.
I don't know.
It can't be Purdy. Whatever happens, it cannot be Purdy. We can't talk about it because that gets us in trouble. But that's the only remedy that they've left to us, and that's not even that remedy is getting less and less all the time. All right, here's the break, folks. We'll be back afterwards.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Nikki, great product. Have to try it for a few months to see results. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I have noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from carpal tunnel. I will continue to buy the product. Ken Peaks, 5 out of 5 stars. Works as advertised. This formula is very powerful. Be careful to follow directions. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure has stabilized, and my lower edema has reduced. Lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. Thank you. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Here comes trouble, put your helmet on, we'll be heading for a fall. Yeah, the whole thing's gonna blow. And the devil's got my number, it's long overdue, he'll come looking soon. Yeah, the whole thing's gonna blow. Here comes trouble, these people talk too much, need to shut them up. Yeah, I'd rather be alone. Can you feel that rumble? All this borrowed time, it's been running out.
Oh, you know what? I was just thinking about that. Thanks for that song, Ken. When you think about it, you know, I would rather be alone, goes the song, right? Millie Weaver's alone today. She probably hasn't been alone for quite some time, sitting in a jail cell, just doing what? Nothing, waiting for Monday? Well, she's probably not alone. She probably has at least one bunkmate, you know, and so forth. But we were just looking at the chat room, and Art's back in the chat room. It's really nice. He got out of the hospital, and he's still in pain. It still hurts like hell, he says. And that's great. But he wants to mention one thing. Well, he just corrected one perception. It wasn't a secret indictment that Millie Weaver was arrested on, right? The secret, you know, mamilial envelope.
No, with a secret thing that you can't see. There were some regular charges that were brought against him or them, right? And those are the interesting parts. She was arrested on several charges, including robbery. What is robbery? Taking something that isn't yours. Domestic violence. What does that mean, right? And her husband was charged with domestic violence as well. So those domestic violence charges, and I've watched friends that have gotten into arguments, and then somebody calls somebody because they can, and all of a sudden the cops are all, well, we've got a phone call, so you guys have to go to jail because, well, that's our policy. And from there, you take both parents in for fighting? Really? Huh. That's interesting. And then they can fight the charges to robbery? Oh, my God, I wonder what that is. Did she pick up a piece of paper or something on the, you know, I don't know. Those need to be flushed out. But, again, how much do we try and deal with the court of law is broken, okay? I get that, right? And even Alan would agree. So do we let it play out, right? So I guess we do. We're not going to do anything, so let's just stay there. You know, you could probably go find a GoFundMe and throw some money that direction, and that's probably a good thing. I'm going to talk about it a little bit, and I think I'm going to kept on that subject for a little bit right now, maybe to your guys' dismay. But that might be the only thing that we can do that's important. You guys can call into the show if you want to talk about something else or talk about Millie. Maybe you got some information firsthand for me. You know, you can tell me a little bit about it. Is it important?
Let us know what's going on in your part of the world. Yeah, I mean, because, you know, like we talk about what we see going on in Fredericksburg here, which used to be a nice, quaint, you know, small community, tight-knit. But yeah, it was relatively friendly, you know, hard to move into. You didn't come in and become just a local real quick, you know, because it was, you know, these were family lines that have been here since, you know, 1836, you know, when, you know, basically when most of these Germans came over here, they came across the ocean looking for freedom. Because they'd always lived under a monarchy and were tired of all you know, all the peasants being used in the squabbles between the dukes and the earls and everything else, and they wanted some freedom, and they came over, and then, you know, shortly, not too long after they got here, they had to go back and fight their relatives over there. You know, it's very conflicting. You know, a lot of these people there, so they more or less tried to stay to themselves out here. They just wanted some freedom, and everyone else just to leave them the hell alone. There are little places like this all over the country, and folks, I'm telling you right now, I don't care how small you're, if you call it a city or a community, there is an activist in there somehow, some way, turning, twisting, and controlling what goes on in your local community. You might have a little bit more freedom here and there, but it ain't going to be for long. And, you know, you got to wonder, you know, as hard as they're pushing all this crap, you know, your kids can't be binary. You know, they've got to be some freakazoid somewhere. You know, that's the only decent person. How many people out there are just tired of this crap? How many people really are snapping and doing things and rebelling against it? But it's just on a very small level. So we don't ever hear about it. You know, there have got to be people out there snapping as much as what's going on. What's it going to take? I mean,
I don't know. I was thinking about that last week as I saw a carload of communists, socialists, Black Lives Matters, gangsters getting out of a, you know, it was a Mercedes SUV, four-wheel drive, to the nines minivan thing. I don't know what they call those things, right? They're not quite an SUV. They're just like really fancy. And I saw this group of Black Lives Matters. Well, they were actually black people, so that was weird, right, to see Black Lives Matter gangsters that weren't white, okay? And they arrived here in Fredericksburg over at this gas station. And I'm kind of like going, okay, and you know what? fair enough. I haven't told you why I think they were Black Lives Matters gangsters, because they had T-shirts on that said Black Lives Matters. They had face masks that were black that said Black Lives Matters and hats that said Black Lives Matters. So I kind of got the impression that they were Black Lives Matters gangsters, or whatever they want to call themselves. And they must have been coming to Fredericksburg to shop, right? Because, you know, that's one of the favorite pastimes of Black Lives Matters gangsters. But these, of course, were elusive and rare beasts, being actual black people supporting Black Lives Matters. Not that Black Lives Matters supports black lives. They support what? Communism? Socialism? Vandalism? You know, violence. Right. Well, they're not really that good about violence. That's why they need Antifa. Antifa is a little bit better about violence. Remember, these guys have been doing push-ups since Trump has got elected, and some of them were on the payroll before then. And they're kind of crazy. But it got me pretty. It didn't get me to anything. Right. I just go, whoa. Okay. So what's going to look like? Right. So were they just doing a recon movement from Dallas down to Houston, or from, you know, Houston up to Dallas to get together for the next protest, right? So they can wear their T-shirts, hats, and color-coordinated Black Lives Matter masks, right? It's like, oh, are they here to look at Main Street, right? Are they going to... How would my police department handle that, right? If all of a sudden the Black Lives Matters troops with Antifa coordinated, right, you know, public-private partnership, well, they're not public, but maybe they are. We'll see if they get together and they go try to rip up, you know, our store center. I mean, it worked in Chicago. What would we do?
Apparently, when they were driving down Main Street, Steve, they didn't see that statue of Admiral Nimitz, you know, that white guy from World War II, out there on the sidewalk, you know, down there on the main part of Main Street. Apparently, they didn't see that because I guess he's still standing, isn't he? I'm really amazed they haven't tried to pull that down yet.
Well, you know, I don't know. It just depends what they're doing here, you know, and... heck, I don't care. It's just kind of a little bit of a stretch to think that kids, and I say that loosely, right, 20-something-year-olds, right, are driving around in this really expensive car, you know, dressed up in, you know, like golf pros in Black Lives Matter attire. Like, what are you guys doing? Right, you're on a road trip. I can tell that. You know, you are roading it. You know, and somebody's rich parent or somebody loaned them a car, and they're driving in it. Right? Are they here to look at our town? And they're coming in everywhere. Well, we'll see. We'll see. They mainly stay local. Right? They trash Portland. They trash Chicago. New York's trashed. Right? You know, New York's preparing for even more trashing. And we're going to go downhill. And meanwhile, they're sitting there telling you that the coronavirus is going to kill you. Here's another good one, Alan. So they say that we need to shut down the polling centers, even if you believed in voting, right? And I know I have a love-hate relationship with that, right? You know, I would like to believe that my vote counts. But, hey, that's beyond the point, beyond the scope. This weekend in Washington, D.C., right, there's a protest group. Let's see if I have that one still up here on the news. No, I don't. So I'll do it from memory. So there's a D.C. protest group, and they like to go over to Washington, to the White House, and go, I hate Trump. And... this time they're really upset, and I'm upset at this cat. This time they decided to go after the postmaster because he's destroying the vote. Did you know that? The postmaster is destroying the vote. Now, so they have this march, and so they all assemble and they have this march because they need to be able to vote by mail because it's not safe to go out in public. So they get a whole huge group of people to march over to the postmaster's house, postmaster general, I'll correct myself, and I'm going to bash that cat, you know.
Steve, you're lucky all you have to deal with is cats, man. You know, since 2012, I've been dealing with Nibiru since 2012, every day of my life. In fact, Nibiru's up. Come here, and I'll pull the damn. She's got cactus needles stuck in her face now, and I'm gonna have to pull them out. Go ahead.
Well, anyways, the postmaster general's house looks like a damn plantation owner's house. What the hell is going on with this stuff, man? Why would he have this big old mansion? I'm the postmaster general. I have a mansion. Excuse me?
Well, Steve, remember a few years back, Steve, there was kind of a movement?
Why are they protesting the fact that they need to have mail-in elections and then they get out in masses of people? It makes no sense. So I guess we shouldn't even cover that.
You remember a while back, Steve, that there was a movement, you know, saying that, oh, the postmaster general, that's the whole key to the whole thing. He's the most powerful person on the planet. And all we got to do is get the postmaster general, and then we'll be safe. It was another one of those remedy things.
Another remedy thing.
Yeah, and unfortunately, Steve, you know, most of these remedies that we hear about, if you really look deep into them, they end up being, 2-4-D or 2-4-5-T. And you don't want to mix those two things together, folks, because then you get Agent Orange. But I think it's 2-4-D is the official corporate name for it, is Remedy. And it's very effective at killing plants and other things and causing mutations and all the good things that Better Living Through Chemistry brings to us.
Yeah. Ken actually made that a really good, succinct point out of my meanderings, rambling. He said, going out in public to protest having to go out in public. It's like, oh, that hurts. We do have a caller. Let's get into that. Let's bounce out to the phones. Gene in Kentucky.
Hello there. Can you hear
howdy,
me?
Howdy.
Okay. Y'all kind of sounding weird, like you're far away or suddenly. Well, anyway, I've been wanting to get a message board for a long time. You know, kind of put letters on. And I finally found one on Tradio. A guy brought it to me, an old one. And so far, I've got on one side, the Face of Liberty has no mask, hugsovermasks.ca. And I got the idea for that one saying from Ernie Hancock on Declare Your Independence on LRNFM. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking about what to put on the other side, maybe like enough is enough, a mask, and, you know, other things, you know. It's not. I live right off of Main Drag, but my husband didn't want me to get it. He said people might shoot at it or something, but I don't care. But I've been wanting to get something like that for a long time, long before the COVID stuff, you know. Just put some kind of little message on there, you know, protest something, you know. Whatever.
Yeah, you know, something like, you know, put the glasses on, see the real messages, you know, obey, comply.
Yeah. I wish I had a light on it and all that. It's not portable. It's real lightweight and it's old. And I've got a whole lot of letters for it, you know, more than it will hold. And I'm trying to get another one, too. I've been asking, you know, looking on Craigslist and all that, too. But that's important to me. It wasn't expensive, you know.
It's scary how much you've talked about the Face of Liberty wears no mask. That's really good. I had this problem, Gene, this week, and it's the fact that I've noticed how many we're in a mask-mandated area around here, so whatever the hell that means.
Yeah,
what it does
almost
mean is, I guess, they put a sign on their door saying you must wear a mask, and if they have the sign, I guess the city can fine them or something like that. And there's a lot of businesses that I just, you know, I really like in town, and I'm tired of watching my friends, for lack of a better term, wearing these stupid damn things and getting upset at them. I went into the donut shop, right? And I don't go, I haven't been into the donut shop since the mask mandate. And we usually get like these little kolache things. They're like hot dogs with bread around them, and they're really cool. They're okay. And the people that own the place are really nice. But they put up the mask sign, and I'm like, I don't want to look at you with a mask. I don't want to have bad discussions with you. I don't want to say how stupid this is. I don't want to hold my tongue. I don't want to stand in line with a mask getting angry because I like you. And so I can't go to your business, and I love you, and maybe someday I'll come back, right? But for now, goodbye. You know, and it's then there's places that you absolutely have to go, right, to go buy a steak or, you know, hamburger or food or something. And then those I just get angry with, right? The masks are driving me nuts, man. And the Face of Liberty wears no mask. That's interesting because
I don't know where he got the saying from. I haven't, you know.
Yeah.
I just heard him last week say it. But there's kind of a mandate around here, but I just ignore it. I just say, if anybody asks, I say medical exemption and keep on walking. You know?
Oh, love you.
I can't
That's
stand
great.
When people are stupid. People even outside, after they get out of the store, they leave them on. And then hearing on the news about
the little three-year-old
that was taken off the airplane with autism because he wouldn't keep a mask on, that is ridiculous. Everybody on there should have protested these crazy people that believe in all that stuff. It angers me that someone would do this to a little three-year-old child. It's sickening.
And, you know, something else that really kind of bugs me, and I'm probably going to anger some people here, but, you know, I can see, once again, everything's for convenience. You know, I heard that actually here at our Walmart here in town, they didn't just have one of the little store people there at the door saying you must wear a mask. They hired a rent-a-cop. And he was standing out there and saying, you have to wear, no, you will wear a mask when you go in. But, you know, and I've talked to people that said, well, you know, I went ahead and I put the mask on, and as soon as I got past the door, I pulled it off and was walking around and, you know, saw a couple other people in there doing the same thing. And I guess that's rebellion to a point, but it's also compliance to a point. You know, I'm sure the cameras at the doors are watching how well everyone complies, you know, coming into the store, whether they're watching, I'm sure they're watching in the store too. I can understand, you know, if you have to go to a doctor's office or something like that, if it's something that, I mean, life or death, you know, I can say, you know, okay, go ahead, wear the mask if you're going to die, if you don't get in here and do this. But, you know, but still to a point, that is compliance. You know, you're complying to go into the store, you're complying to go into the restaurant, but then when you get in the restaurant, you can take your mask off and sit at the table and eat. You know, nothing makes any sense anymore.
There's no COVID at the table. There's no COVID at the table.
Yeah, I heard somebody talk about that. And it's only when you pass by, you know, you have to get it. Because I don't go to restaurants anyway. They're not enforcing it really here in some of the places.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They just kind of look at you, you know what I mean? I just call them. I say, you're the mass Nazi. You know, I said to one girl that day. And then I'll say things to people out in the parking lot, like the guys getting their baskets. I said, why in the heck y'all have to wear a mask outside getting the bath carts? I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, it's crazy. And like I said, watching people, instead of taking them off, the moment they get out the store, they just leave them on. Saw a lady the other day have one on filling up her gas tank. I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah, well, I still have not, I've not gone into Walmart yet, but, you know, going into our grocery store, I just, you know, walked past the door. The little girl at the door didn't even say anything to me. You know, there's a sign there that says mask required.
Yeah.
And I just walked in, and, you know, there was actually a few other people. I wasn't the only one in the store this time that wasn't wearing a mask. There was a few other people.
Yeah,
so,
I was with you. When we went to Louisville recently for a doctor's appointment, I went by one of the big nurseries there in Louisville, and I was going to look for something, and the lady said, you had to have a mask on. I said, well, I got a medical exemption. She said, well, you can't come in, but we can get it for you. And I screamed them, y'all crazy. This is an outdoor place, you know, big old greenhouse, open air and all that I used to go to when I was in Louisville. And it's ridiculous. I was so mad. My husband kept saying, quit yelling at them. I said, but they're crazy, you know what I mean? They're idiots.
You know,
I'm the only one around. I don't see anybody else there, you know, in big old area. You know how a greenhouse is.
And Gene, these are even laws that they made up. you know, the American Disabilities Act, you know, they can't deny you service because you're disabled, they can't, you know, ask your medical condition. So, you know, I'm wondering, you know, where there have to be some lawsuits have been tried. Are the courts just not even hearing them? Or, you know, or what is the deal with that?
Well, people say sheeple. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Sheeple.
Yes.
I mean, healthy-looking people you see with these stupid bandanas on and a matching mask. But the worst is seeing the little kids with them on. Now, people got so much fear in their children. It's sickening, you know what I mean? To have these little two and three and four-year-olds in a bass cart, you know, with you while you're shopping, watching them wear a mask. It's craziness. And then the schools,
you know,
I don't know what's going to happen about the schools, you know.
For certain conditions, you know, fear is a much more effective weapon than lead is.
I know. So many people are just sheeple. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah. And folks, you know, if you've never been on a ranch or out in the great outdoors or anything, go to YouTube. I think you can probably find this. Just type in something like sheep running in circles or something like that. This is what we're talking about. A sheep, once one sheep does something, once one sheep makes a break and, like, you know, jumps across a creek, you know, every other sheep will instantly go. But until one sheep does it, and they're followers. And you watch this. There'll be like a barn door with two openings, you know, 10 feet apart or so. Mm-hmm. And the guy will get, you know, this one sheep, and it'll come out of the barn, and then he'll be standing there, and he'll shoo it over and make it go back in this other door to the barn. And every sheep that comes out after that first sheep will follow that first sheep. It'll turn, and it'll go back in the barn. And that sheep that goes back in the barn sees the tail end of the other sheep going out the door, and they will just sit there and run in circles, round and round and round and round, till damn near they die. I mean, that's what we're talking about, the sheeple. It's just the mentality that until someone else does it and steps out first, they won't do anything. They're, you know, once you have a lead sheep, it will follow whatever the hell's on the other side of whatever they might be crossing. Every one of them will follow. Doesn't matter if they're jumping off a cliff into a pit of lava. You know, every sheep will do it.
Yeah. I got a question. Maybe the audience can participate and answer. I've been catching rainwater for my girls and feather girls, and it's several days old. And I finally brought it in the house and the basement and air conditioned, but I'm worried about bacteria, so I've been putting a squirt of hydrogen peroxide in it. I just wonder if that's enough. I started boiling it this morning, but it's not going to rain for probably another week. And it's clear looking, you know, no algae and all that. And then I strained it through a coffee filter. So I just wonder if just putting a drop of hydrogen peroxide would be good enough. Anybody out there has any suggestions, like Tom or whatever, that'd be great. But that's all I've got to say to y'all. And thank y'all for being there. And
I appreciate it.
Y'all keep up the good work. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Okay.
We're doing the little bit that we can. You know, I know we don't bring much earth-shattering things here. You know, we come on here and we talk about what we see in our communities, what we see going on around us, and I'm just, you know, wanting to know, does the rest of the country seeing this? You know, it can't be just localized to Texas here. You know, supposedly we're this, you know, rough, rugged, independent state. Everyone rides horses around here, you know, and shoots six guns.
Oh, there's the music. Well, hang on, folks. Hour one's over. On to hour two. We'll be right back with Public Texas Radio.
The tree of life is us, my friends.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.